purport and translation by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paraparamhansa Haribraja Kacharya Astato Sri Srimad Nesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet in His self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who are endowed with four funds of knowledge. Purport. The influence of Kali can be enforced only upon those who are not fully developed in God consciousness. One can neutralize the effects of Kali by keeping oneself fully under the supreme care of the Personality of Godhead. The age of Kali ensued just after the battle of Kurukshetra, but it could not exert its influence because of the presence of the Lord. The Lord, however, left this earthly planet in His own transcendental body. And as soon as He left, the symptoms of the Kali Yuga, as were envisioned by Maharaj Yudhisthira prior to Arjuna's arrival from Dwarka, began to manifest. And Maharaj Yudhisthira rightly conjectured on the departure of the Lord from the earth. As we have already explained, the Lord left our sight. Just as when the sun sets, it is out of our sight. Om Akyam Sagandha Sajanandhanam Shalakaka Chura Manitantina Tajmai Sri Dhi Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shivashati Yoga Vakitana Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 When the Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left His earthly planet in His self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who were endowed with the four fund of knowledge. Srila Prabhupada said that as if it wasn't so bad enough anyway, in the material world, with being under the influence of material nature constantly. If it wasn't bad enough anyway, he said, then Kali also has to come and make things worse. Already it's so bad that Kali comes simply to stir up the trouble, make it more and more difficult. Anyway, that's the part that Kali has to play, and he knows that. It was explained to Parikshit Maharaj, you know, I'm here, I also have a mission. Krishna has a mission. You are helping perform Krishna's mission. I also have a mission. So I also have a right to stay around and, you know, do my thing as well. So Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, you're entitled to do your work. That's what you're made for. You're Kali Raj. That's your position. But you can only do it in these places, these where the simple activities are being performed. So of course, he couldn't do much because Maharaj Parikshit was so powerful. Just like when Krishna was here, it says that he was partially manifest. He appeared, but he couldn't manifest or exhibit his potencies due to the presence of Krishna. Prabhupada mentions the influence of Kali can be enforced only upon those who are not fully developed in God consciousness. The age of Kali ensued just after the battle of Kurukshetra, but it could not exert its influence because of the presence of the Lord. So although we see that even during the presence of the Lord, so many problems are there, so many demons. Even Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he was present here, but we see so many disturbing elements. The Chankazi was there, tried to interfere with the movement. So we can understand that these pastimes of the Lord with his so-called enemies, and this is part of his lila. It's something different from the material world. It's something different from Kali, because Kali is not around all the time. The material world has its pastime throughout all the yugas, and Kali has another pastime on top of that. So Krishna is not a part of, his pastime is not a part of the regular three modes of material world, nor Kali's pastime. Because of his presence, then the Kali could not exert its influence. So this is instructive, because it's how to counteract Kali and the modes of material nature, which are both against the living entity, is to be in the presence of the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord, Kali cannot stand, Maya cannot stand, the darkness cannot stand in front of the sunshine. So this is the purpose of Krishna consciousness, is to keep everyone in the presence of the Lord by the process of devotional service. So here, just as Lord Chaitanya, that was his lila pastime was going on, and the influence of Kali couldn't affect him. Over and above that, the reason, just because it is a pastime, it is a transcendental experience of the Lord with his devotees and all of his activities. What do you say? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, here, one fully under the supreme care of the personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Devi Prakriti, those who are under the care of the divine energy. So it's like that, it's all under the protection of divine energy, Leela. So this is the opportunity in Kali Yuga. It's not only becoming aloof from material nature and Kali Raj, but it's actually being established in the under the divine potency of the Lord. Because this is actually Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Lord Chaitanya's Leela extends for 10,000 years. Usually Krishna's Leela lasted 125 years, something like that. He stayed around that much time. He bound everything up. But Lord Chaitanya's Leela actually goes on for 10,000 years. Because his mission is, as always, to kill the demons and establish righteousness. But it's just so happens that in Kali Yuga it takes more time. So it takes 10,000 years, or 5,000 years to fully manifest, and 5,000 years to unwind again. But this is all his pastime, and it just gives all the living entities a very great opportunity to engage in Krishna's service in Kali Yuga. It's not expected so many people going to come in Kali Yuga. So you get an extended time, because he is very, very merciful, Lord Chaitanya, and he makes it very easy and gives an extended time. So practically what we're doing here is actually it is the mission of the Lord. It is Lord Chaitanya's mission. This is more or less the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is more or less the extension of the Chaitanya Charita, which is Gauranga's Leela. And we are supposed to be doing the same thing. We are supposed to be executing the mission of Lord Chaitanya. This is our saving grace. And we can check ourselves, we can ask ourselves, from the very time you wake up, what is my service throughout this day? What am I going to do to enhance the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? After all, that's what we're for, isn't it? That's why we join the mission, hopefully. So what is my service today? How am I going to enhance the mission or expand the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Instead of waking up and thinking it's so hot, it's so cold, or I got so much work to do today, and you know, me. When am I going to get my freedom? When's Hare Krishna going to give me my mukti? My people can wake up in a more service attitude towards the Lord. And this is what Prabhupada has given us. He's given us this mission to become completely absorbed in, because by being absorbed in the mission, you're not absorbed in yourself. I mean, you are, but it's the supreme benefit for the self, supreme absorption. And this is the way to counteract the age of Kali. Simply be absorbed in devotional service constantly. And we should constantly remind ourselves, because we always constantly forget. So constantly remind ourselves what we're doing in the day. And then we can become enthusiastic. Otherwise, the material world is not enthusiastic. You can only go for 5 minutes and then you go down. And the material world is always pressure. But if you understand what you're doing, you don't become tied down. The same example Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, when I come, I'm working here, but I don't become bound up in the material world. Everyone else is doing their work, but they get bound all the time, they get shackled up, but I don't get shackled up. Why? Because I'm not working for myself, I'm not thinking for myself. I'm thinking of everyone else, that's why I've come. If I want to think of myself, I wouldn't have come. I stay in Goloka with Radharani and all my friends. That's the supreme selfishness. But when I come, I come for others. So then Krishna says, now if you do the same thing, when you work for others, then you won't become bound. You'll become as free as me, Krishna's own words. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness, the secret of Krishna consciousness, is this absorption in devotional service, and not in the mood of bhakti or mukti, wanting to enjoy service. Should I be the devotee a long while? Why aren't I enjoying in my service? That's also not the mood that we want to enjoy, nor even to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says in, where is it? Prayers to Lord Shiva, to the Prajetas, is the disciple, he shouldn't even consider whether he's going back to Godhead or not. Shouldn't even be a consideration for him. His consideration, how to execute the mission of the spiritual master. He has orders of the spirit. How to execute that order? He shouldn't even be concerned about he's going back to Godhead or not. That's already guaranteed if you're just fixed on how to satisfy the spiritual master, and otherwise how to follow in the footsteps of a devotee. It should be situated in the footsteps of a devotee. That's your ticket back to Godhead. You become a servant of a devotee. You get the mercy of a devotee. That's the only way. It's not by your great service or anything like that. So Prabhupada said, once you get the order of the spiritual master, make it his life, and so it becomes his mission in life. And not only should he find the ways and means to execute that instruction, but he should also worship that instruction. So that instruction from the spirit becomes worshipable. Why? Because it's your deliverance to bhakti. So Krishna comes and sets the example, and we should do the same. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing the same. He's in the Nitya Leela, they're dancing. He doesn't want to even sleep at night. Why should we sleep? Like when he first started his, when he came back from Gaya, he started chanting Hare Krishna all the devotees in Sri Vaishangam. They, late at night they would take rest, and after a few days, why do we go and sleep? Just out of habit. We're in ecstasy dancing, why are we going home to sleep? Oh, we might as well stay up all night. Yeah, we want to. And they just stayed up all night, just like until the sun was coming, and then they go back and take a bit of rest. So he was so enthusiastic. Because it was so nice, because it's the opposite to material. Material means go to sleep. Material energy means go to sleep. Spiritual energy means wake up, utishtha, utishtha. Ji jago. Wake up to one's existence, and this is what it means. As long as you're in the presence of the Lord, Kali can't influence you because you're awake. Kali is only for the ignorant, the asleep people, those unintelligent, less intelligent people. And for those, then Kali has a field day. And gets worse and worse and more tricks and hand in hand with the Maya Devi. They got so many plans worked out. And all for these unintelligent persons. And you know who the most unintelligent persons are? The most unfortunate? Srila Prabhupada said, the devotees. The devotees, because they know what's happening. No one else knows what's happening in the world. They think it's going on by chance. It's just nature, you know, it's just natural that, you know, I'm going to live and die. And it's unfortunate, you know, a lorry comes and runs. And they don't know. They don't know how the material nature is working under the strict order of the Supreme Lord and how Kali is influenced there. The modes of material nature are affecting everyone. Making all these wonderful varieties, they don't know. They're foolish, they're in ignorance. But Prabhupada said, a person who knows and still he doesn't become fully Krishna, he is more foolish. A person who knows and actually embraces Kali and Maya, he is much more foolish than an ignorant person. Embracing Maya, Srinivasacharya, Ajaji Grama, he was there with Narottam Das Thakur. And they were sitting down chanting in ecstasy under a tree there. And then, who is it? Chakrabarti? Huh? Ramchandra? Ramchandra. Chakrabarti. He was getting on his way to his marriage. So he's come by in the palanquin and the band and the shanai and everything that's going on. And Srinivas was saying, this Ramchandra, Kaviraj, he's... Of course he wasn't Kaviraj at that time. He said, this Ramchandra, he said, he's such a nice Brahmana. He said, look at the features on his body. Fine nose, everything nice about him. He's so learned. So nice devotee. Nice, such nice. If only he was a devotee, instead of being attached to his brahminical side of it, without being a devotee, he said he's got all the good qualities. So, Narottam went to preach, or Srinivas went to preach, I don't speak to him. Oh, because he came over, he stopped the palanquin, he was very pious, he saw the saintly person, the devotee. So he stopped the palanquin and he came and paid his obeisances. And they told him that a person, he works so hard in this material world, like a donkey, like an ass. Just to maintain himself, you have to work really hard. And just to get a bit of money to maintain yourself. And with that money, he buys a noose. The noose of Maya's noose. And not only purchases it with his very hard-earned money, but he very happily puts it on his own neck. Ooh. He said, this is a material nature. You work hard, damn hard. And what you do, you simply purchase a noose and you happily put it around your neck. So this is the influence of the age. So we have to be very diligent as devotees because Maya has got so many more new tricks. There's a new one. Sex phone or phone sex. So you pay your money probably by card or something, and then you pick up the telephone and there's a very sweet woman there speaking on the other end, and she just says whatever you want to, they talk about. It's all to do with sex. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say. So you just pay your money and pick it up, and then you're on the telephone, you're just getting off on this, you know, hearing a beautiful woman and talking in any kind of intimate detail you want to discuss and talk about, and they just... And I know this because if a woman, a devotee, a woman started it, she's now become a devotee. We're interested in Krishna consciousness. And it's big. It's getting really big in America. But it means everybody's into it. So this is Maya's latest trick and Kali's latest trick. Her latest trick is, I'm going to bring it right in your house. You don't even have to leave your room. You stay there. I'm going to bring it. There's all this. All the telephones. There's all the young boys and girls. They got telephones in there. Okay. Bring it in, pornography. I'll bring it in. I'll bring it right into it. You don't have to go out now. This is Kali's program. And they're working on it now. The telephone, they want to get the image there. So when you're speaking, you're going to see the person on the other side. You can imagine what's going to go on then. You don't leave your house. You just stay there. You got your AC. You got your fridge stocked up. And then you just start pressing your buttons and talking and looking and... And this is Kali's latest trick. You don't leave your house. It's nice and comfortable there. You don't have to go out. Very, very careful. Prabhupada said, it gets worse. It gets worse. He said that in reference to deity worship. He said, don't make it too complicated. He said, because it gets worse in Kali Yuga, they may not be able to follow later as much. So keep it quite simple. Because everything gets worse. So, this is, you know, this is what we're living with, this is what we're dealing with. It's a reality. It is a reality, and we all know it. It's an attractive reality also. But we do have the solution. Here in the Bhagavatam. Especially this point. Or this chapter. What's it dealing with? Here. Krishna, as we've already explained, the Lord left our sight. Just as when the sun is set, it is out of our sight. But the sun is never lost. So it's, what's being emphasized here quite a lot during this chapter? That Krishna is a person. His presence can be felt. He can be seen also by Arjuna and Yudhisthira. They were fortunate enough to be with Krishna, to see Krishna. He is a person, and he is not an ordinary person, because when he leaves, for him, it's just starting somewhere else, that's all. For us, it may be out of sight, but for him, he's just going to another place. Someone just left the room, it doesn't mean all that. For them, they're starting their pastime, their pastime hasn't finished, it's going to continue. So he is a person, he's telling us he is a person, the eternal person, someone you can take pure shelter of. He is not part of the external potency, he is internal potency, you can take shelter of the internal potency. And another thing that's being brought out here all the time is that everybody has a relationship with him. And we're reading about Arjuna's relationship with Krishna. Of course, now is shattered. Arjuna's Yudhisthira's relationship now is shattered. Drupadi, Kunti, their relationships with Krishna. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's bringing to this point out all the time that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. And he has a loving relationship with every living entity. Who wants to have a loving relationship? And you do that by the process of devotional service. We can engage in devotional service even in Kali Yuga. Even amongst the most difficult time, you can engage in devotional service. In Satyayuga, it's so good, you can also engage in devotional service. So there is no discrimination. In transcendence, that can be adopted anytime. So it's not although there is a time in the material world when, you know, bad luck, that's it. No, at any time, Krishna's not so unkind, any time you can turn to transcendence. This material world is meant, designed specifically to keep the living entities bound up because of their desires. And it also offers an opportunity to get out if you like. So at any time you can choose. It's not although, yes, it's a material world, we know it's a prison house, we know everybody is bound up constantly. It's not although there's, you know, your life is, you're in for life and there's no, at any moment you can step out. Prabhupada used this argument where he's talking to one Christian. And he was talking about eternal condemnation of the soul, the Christian theory, that there, if you're sinful, you'll go to hell forever. Thus. So he was pushing Prabhupada. Yes, this is the fact. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, yes, but you're saying, you know, how bad this material world is, and you're transmigrating through 84 like species of life again and again, universe after universe. So it's like an eternal condemnation. It can be there that, you know, that propensity is there. Prabhupada said, no. He said, it's almost like that. It's almost like that. Because the living entity is so foolish, he won't wake up. Again, it's almost like that. But any moment, in one moment, he can change and say no. Because he has his independence. So there cannot be eternal condemnation, Prabhupada said. It's not likely, most of the people don't. So more or less you can say they're eternally condemned. Nityabada. We even use the term, Nityabada, eternally condemned. But Prabhupada said no, because at any moment, throughout the history of the universe, at any moment a living entity can turn to Krishna consciousness. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the goal is happiness, love. We know it as love for Krishna. And materialists know it as happiness, love in the material world, etc. Pleasure. Purpose of life is pleasure. The body is one and it becomes many for pleasure. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now in this material world everybody is seeking pleasure. Whatever everybody is doing, they're seeking pleasure. The karmis, the gyanis, the yogis, they want a higher pleasure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they follow all these different processes for elevation to heavenly planets, for liberation. The kings get happiness out of fighting with each other, so they wage wars because they get off on that, they get happiness. And everybody said the people, they throw themselves in the ocean for happiness. They're frustrated with some happiness. So everybody, they're all looking for that, searching for happiness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this happiness you don't have to look for in material, because it's already been predestined, it's already ordained. You don't have to search for happiness. You've got this much happiness coming, you're going to get that much. You've got that much distress coming, you're going to get it. You're not going to avoid it by any means. It's going to come one way or another. So you don't have to waste your time making a program for happiness in the material world. It comes automatically. But if you want Krishna consciousness, you have to make a big program. You have to endeavor like anything for Krishna consciousness. Because Maya is endeavoring to keep you bound up. And if you don't endeavor, you'll be swept away by Maya. If you want Krishna consciousness, you have to endeavor like anything. And that's the choice of the living entity. And those who make the choice, they are correctly situated. And those who don't, they're the unfortunate ones. And those who make the choice, but don't act on it, then more unfortunate than the most unfortunate. Because they know. Is there any question or comment? Just today is all the disappearance of Shyamananda Prabhu. 10 minutes. So Samananda Prabhu, he was born in Bengal, and his parents, they gave birth to quite a few children. At the time of birth, they died. So they were very unhappy. So when Shyamananda was born, he didn't die immediately, but they were expecting, we're so unfortunate, he's going to die. It's our fate. Anyway, they're performing all the different samskars from, because he was coming from a very strict Brahmin family. That line of Brahmanas, they will only take water from another Brahmin of that caste. They're very strict. So they called him Dukhi. Dukhi means unhappy. Shuki Dukhi. They called him Dukhi. They thought if we may name him Dukhi, because this distress, always looking for trouble, going around to give people trouble. If we call him Dukhi, that means he's unhappy. Then when trouble comes, look around, looking there, oh, he's already unhappy. I'll go get someone else. I don't know. So they called him Dukhi, so he may not be disturbed by the trouble, because all of the other children have been lost their lives at childbirth. And they said, but they made an agreement. When we have this child, they were praying to Vishnu, please, at least keep one child, and we give him to you. We promise we'll become your child. So he was born, and he actually survived. And he had all the good qualities of a great devotee from very childhood. Very tall, only interested in Krishna Katha. And even at a very young age, he would hear the pastimes of Garanga and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he would show symptoms of ecstasy. He was automatically attracted to Lord Garanga and Lord Nityananda. And when he wanted to take a guru, he asked his mother and father that he wanted to go to Navadvip. And they said, yes, you please go and find a guru. This is the only thing we want you to do, is to become perfect in life, become a great devotee of Krishna. So they gave their full blessings. And he came to Navadvip, searching for guru, meeting many devotees. He was in Ambika Kalna, and he saw Hirdaya Chaitanya, who was a disciple of Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit, yeah. And he saw the amazing renunciation of this person, and the vast knowledge and devotion. He was just flowing from his mouth the pastimes of Gaunitai, and he was drenched in tears. And Shaman Dukik was completely overwhelmed with his personality, and he said, I have to accept this person as my spiritual master. And he just stayed there humbly, trying to do some service, until Hirdaya Chaitanya noticed him. And he fell at his feet and begged him for initiation. And Hirdaya Chaitanya gladly accepted him. And he named him Krishnadas. So then he became famous as Dukhi Krishnadas. And he was sent to Vrindavan to study under Sri Jiva Goswami, who was the head of the Gaudiya Sampradaya at that time, living in Vrindavan. And he was sent there to study under Jiva. They were studying the Sandharvas and Bhagavatam, different literatures. And there he became great friends with Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, who were students of Jiva Goswami. And Krishna, Dukhi Krishnadas, he had a service of cleaning, sweeping the Rasa Mandala area. Where is that? Nirvan? Saivakunj. Yeah, Saivakunj. That area in Vrindavan, where all the monkeys are. He had the service of sweeping that. So he would sweep that area every day. And clean the area. He had to clean it, to take in the grass and weeds and things like that. And he was cleaning the weeds one time, and his instrument, he touched something, made a sound. It was a bangle, nupur, ankle bracelet. And his Narayani, his instrument, it turned into gold. He thought, this is something very special here, this nupur. And so he kept it. And later on, one young girl comes, she was searching around there, and she said, that she saw Dukhi Krishna, said, you clean here. Did you see one ankle bell? My sister lost her ankle bell here. I said, yeah, I got it. Well, can you give it to me? I'll give it to her. I said, no, I can't give it to you. Only if she comes herself, I can give. He knew this is something very special here. And he says, well, it's very difficult for her to come. No, I won't give it till she comes. So actually, then she brought her sister along. And he could understand that you're not ordinary person. He says, my Narayani turned into gold when I touched her ankle bell. You should please enlighten me and give me your mercy. And so the little girl happened to be Radharani. And her sister happened to be, her friend happened to be Lolita. And it says she gave her, Lolita gave him her mantra, that you can always chant this mantra and you can contact with me. And then she or Radharani picked the nupur up, so it was like that shape. And she put it on his head. And then it made that tilak. You know the Shyamananda tilak? They were like that. It's called nupur tilak. You see them. And then that tilak became manifest there from that nupur. And so then everyone was saying, why is the Dukhi Krishna got this strange tilak on? He has this new tilak. It looks like a new sampradaya or something. What is this? What's going on? But he was, they told him to keep it very secret. Well, so he kept everything very secret. And he wouldn't say anything, but Jiva Goswami, he couldn't understand. Because he's the internal potency. He can understand. And then he gave Dukhi the name Shyamananda. Then later on, his guru, Vidya Chaitanya, he came to hear about this from Navadvip, that your disciple, Dukhi Krishna Das, he's now walking around with a new name, Shyamananda Das, and he's got a new tilak. So he said, what's going on out there? He said, Jiva Goswami gave to him. So he came with his disciples to Vrindavan, and he was, you know, what's happening? I sent my disciple to study under you, and now you've given him a new name, and he's got a new tilak. This is, you know, it seems like it's not Vaishnava etiquette, you're taking my disciples. So he asked his disciples, now what's going on? And he said, well, the teacher often gives a name to the disciple. I'm studying under him, I'm his teacher. They do award titles. It's more of a title he's awarded me. They give Kaviraj, and so he's awarded me as a title. And he said, what about that tilak? And he was a little bit shy to speak of such things. front of his guru. This one should always look a fool in front of his guru. So he said, I had an experience, and then this tilak appeared. Oh, he said, you had an experience. Everybody has experiences. He said, so let me take that tilak off, and then you just have another experience and make it come back again. So he scrubbed it off. And so Shamananda, he said, give me some time. He went into meditation and he was chanting the mantra that Lalita gave. And he said, I'm having a problem. My guru is here, he's really angry. He's angry with the tilak, he's angry with my new name. What can be done? So she went to see Radharani and said that, you know, that the Gaudiya is there and he's having a problem now with his guru. She'd be like, I'm never doing that, man. You come with all these problems. We're not supposed to sort out the problems in the material world. We're here for pastime. Who can do that? So Shubhal Shaka was there. So Shubhal Shaka is Gauridas Pandit in Krishna Leela. And he said, oh, he's my disciple. Okay, I'll look after it. Don't worry, I'll sort things out. You don't have to worry. So anyway, Shyamananda in his meditation, then the tilak, again it just appeared on his, and his guru, everybody saw it, just manifested there. So he said, this is, you know, it's just not just a dream. I'm accepting it as bona fide now. So he was very happy with his disciple that he had some transcendental exchange. And he was blessed directly from Lalita and Srimati Radharani. And so he was taking his guru on the tour of Vrindavan. He knew all the places. And they went to one place and the Krishna Katha was going on. And the speaker was speaking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And on hearing these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then Shyamananda went in ecstasy. And he was showing all symptoms and he fell on the ground and he was weeping and crying and his goosebumps, his skin was erupting. And Hidoy Chaitanya, his guru, saw this astonishing manifestation. And he said, what are you doing? What are you doing? He picked up his stick, he started to beat him. What are you doing? He's beating. And everyone's astonished. What are you doing? You're beating your disciple. He's heavy beating. Giving hard beating. He's beating and beating. What are you doing like this? He said, hearing this, you're showing these ecstasies, beating and beating. The devotees are trying to stop him. Dukhi Krishna said, no, he said, my Guru Maharaj, he said he is disciple of Gauridas Pandit, Shubhal Shaka. He's in Shaka Rash. And he's imparting unto his disciple Hidai Chaitanya. And he's in Shakaras. And they don't know nothing, but Krishna is their best friend. And now you've come to Vrindavan, you've learned something else. You've learned something else. You're not getting this Shakaras that absorbs us 24 hours a day out playing with Krishna. We wrestle with Krishna, we fight with Krishna. And you're not going to get this. You're going in a different direction. He said he's beating me because he thinks I'm not getting such a high relationship with Krishna and experience with Krishna, therefore my Guru Maharaj is beating me. He wants to take me to something else because he knows nothing outside of Shakaras. So again, the guru was very disturbed. That night, Lord Chaitanya appeared to Hetaichandra in his dream. And he said, "What did you do to me?" He said, "What?" Lord Chaitanya turned round. On his back, he had all these beat marks of the stick. He said, "What have I done?" He said, "I can see the Shamananda no different than my own body. And you have beaten him. It's like you have beaten me." He said, "That name was given, and the tilak has been given personally by the direct associates of Srimad Radharani. And by the association of Jiva Goswami, he's been blessed." So he woke up in the morning, he was again distressed and confused. But anyway, he saw his disciple and he embraced him. Forgive and begged forgiveness. Not, he didn't ask forgiveness actually, because he was the guru. He was right in what he did. But he said, "I'm very proud now to have a disciple like you. I'm very happy. Please continue in your own devotional way." And then Shamananda, he was later sent to Orissa by Jiva Goswami. He sent the Narottam and Srinivas to preach in Bengal. They took all the teachings, all the writings of the Goswamis. They've been systematically prepared by Jiva and others. And he was preaching in Orissa. He's very popular, still very popular. There's Sampradaya. There are five main places in and around Orissa and Bengal and Vrindavan. And today is the day he left his material world. His temple is there at Shamananda, Radha Shamashunda temple in Vrindavan. This is Shamananda's worshipful deities. Shamananda Prabhu ki. Shamananda Prabhu Kirabhakti ki. Shima Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Nitai Gokramanandi. Thank you. Hare Krishna.